Hey there, this is Chris Abraham, Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 5, I think. I could just walk over to my phone to see if it's 5, but I think it's 5. This episode, if it is 5, and even if it isn't, is about chemotherapy as a treatment for cancer, which is an analogy for what's going on in America right now with regards to how to cure the cancer that is happening to American democracy. This is going to piss a lot of people off because I take it from both sides. And I know there's this concept of you're either for us or against us, or whataboutism, or false equivalency and so forth. But let's take a stab at it, okay? How much killing vis-a-vis chemotherapy can one do on a patient before one kills the patient? And if the goal is to kill the patient, what will pop up in its stead? That is the thesis of today's podcast. I don't have any notes. Really freewheeling here, so please indulge me. As me and my digital Google Home friend try to figure this out. Okay, Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 5. This was recorded on the 11th of January. I am going to send it out same day, maybe tomorrow. And this is in the wake of the assault on Capitol Hill by Trump supporters. It's being called sedition, it's being called revolution, it's being called a coup d'etat, it's being called breaching the barricades, it's being called, what's the other term? There's the one big term that everybody's calling it. Hey Google, tell me about what happened last Wednesday on the Capitol. Hey Google, what happened on the Capitol building last week?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can try.
Hey Google, tell me about the storming of the Capitol building.
According to Wikipedia, on January 6, 2021, a mob of rioters supporting United States President Donald Trump's attempt to overturn his defeat in the 2020 presidential election stormed the U.S. Capitol, breaching security and occupying parts of the building for several hours.
That is from Wikipedia. The 2021 storming of the United States Capitol was a riot and a violent attack against the United States Congress on January 6, 2021. Oh, well, it went away. All right. Well, insurrection is the word. So this is defined as an insurrection, and I'm not going to talk about the insurrection. I'm not going to talk about the storming of the Capitol building. I might talk a little bit about the fact that this was no secret, and then I knew about it weeks before, and I thought everybody knew about it weeks before. However, I'm just going to make a commentary based on things that I saw on Twitter and Facebook and via email and in conversations and texts in the wake of the event of the January 6th, 2021 assault on the White House, assault on the Capitol building by Trump supporters. And I'm not even going to go down any conspiracy rabbit holes. I'm not going to address agent provocateur. I'm not going to talk about whether or not it was a bunch of Antifa dressed up as Trump supporters to rabble rouse the event. I'm not going to talk about any of that. That is all for other people to discuss. I'm only going to talk about the fallout and the commentary in the wake of what happened. So we'll come back after a break and I'll talk to you soon. Hey there, Chris Abraham here. Season 2, episode, I think, 5. This might be all the way wrong all the way through. If it's the 6th, I apologize. But I'm not going to go in and fix it. Anyway, this is all about how much chemotherapy can America take before it dies? And then what would come out in its place if it dies? And is there just enough chemotherapy to cure the patient of cancer without killing it? This is the stuff that I'm going to talk about. If you're ready, brace yourself and come back after the break. Welcome back. Season 2, episode 5, I think. Maybe 6, maybe 7. So, I can't believe how many of all of my peaceful, liberal, progressive, pro-minority, pro-LGBTQ+, people experiencing homelessness, generous, loving children of God, even beautiful children of godlessness, have spoken of the kind of violent reprisal in the name of reunification without reunification sans appeasement, sans unity through superior firepower. That is the definition of what a lot of people are saying. And by firepower, I do not mean necessarily guns a-blazing or up against the wall. I mean that there is going to be people were openly talking about re-education. They were talking about what should have been done in the wake of the first Civil War, that the re-education, reunification, and reintegration of the lost cause, of the losers of the Civil War, was not severe enough, was not extreme enough, was not definitive enough, and didn't do a good job enough of re-educating and reunifying and reintegrating any and all who were in any way, even underground, believing through slow burn, through long 100-year, 1,000-year view, the way tribes, in fact, do, believe that the South will rise again. This is not done through love. This, according to Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and texts and conversations, this will not be done through love. This will not be done through compassion. This will be done through extreme through extremes. And the extremes can include canceling. They should, according to people, include firing. They definitely should include, within even the most broad extents of the law, should include incarceration. It should include blemish to personal and permanent records. There should be a list, an actionable list, of any and all people who have in any way implicated themselves in any type of support of Trump in general and the Trump Nation in particular. That list might be so broad as to include anybody who are. Oh, and finally, the absolutist definition of any and all people associated with any and all Biden-related or Trump-related uprisings as being on not only a watch list, but maybe prevented from flying, maybe, and well, no, most certainly added to a domestic terrorist watch list, and effectively legislation that would be what I like to call, because I'm witty, Patriot Act 2, Electric Boogaloo. And ha ha ha. So, because Boogaloo is the name, right, of that revolt, of that revolt. So, I had been rolling my eyes when people had been talking about this insurrection being another 9/11, being like the Vietnam War, being like Pearl Harbor, being like any number of cataclysmic events that happened in America's history. And my response was to roll my eyes with regards to comparing it to 9/11. However, it actually is 9/11, and I'll tell you why after the break. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Chris Abraham, Chris Cast, Season 2, Episode 5, or maybe 6, maybe 7, maybe 8, maybe 9, maybe 10. I don't know. So, why is this insurrection on January 6th, 2021, analogous and analog to 9/11? Well, in the wake of 9/11, there were America came together. They came again together, and that was a real goal. I mean, I'd say 9/11 was a convenient, what's the term? Hey Google, what's the term for a magical object in a movie that drives a plot forward?
According to Wikipedia, a plot device or plot mechanism is any technique in a narrative used to move the plot forward.
It's a MacGuffin. I remembered it. So 9/11 was a MacGuffin. Hey Google, what is a MacGuffin?
Here's a summary from Wikipedia. In fiction, a MacGuffin is an object, device, or event that is necessary to the plot and the motivation of the characters, but insignificant, unimportant, or irrelevant in itself. The term was originated by Angus MacPhail for film, adopted by Alfred Hitchcock, and later extended to a similar device in other fiction.
So I don't mean to. I'm doing this for bombastic effect. I'm not meaning to dismiss 9/11 or January 6th as MacGuffins, but let's go with this, okay? 9/11 as a MacGuffin and January 6th as a MacGuffin to drive the plot forward, right? So in the before 9/11, the world was really divided. And America was extremely divided. Europe was extremely divided. People really didn't like America. George Bush was a putz, and it was at the end of a very peaceful Clinton 2 terms, right? 8 years of relative, if not, operational, but mostly, peaceful times after the collapse of the Soviet Union and the EU started, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So times were peaceful. Things were doing pretty well. We had recovered from the 93 recession, yada, yada. 1999 was tough. There was a blow up in the world. There was the dot-com bomb. Hey, Google, what was the dot-com bomb? Hey, Google,
Sorry.
what was the dot-com bomb?
Sorry, I don't know how to
Hey,
help with that.
Google, what was the financial collapse in 1999?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can try.
And all of you guys know, who are old enough, know what the dot-com bomb was. That's when the internet boom. Hey, Google, what was the internet boom of 1999?
On the website investopedia.com, they say, the peak of the internet bubble. Record amounts of capital flowed started flowing into the Nasdaq in 1997. By 1999, 39% of all venture capital investments were going to internet companies. That year, 295 of the 457 IPOs were related to internet companies, followed by 91 in the first quarter of 2000 alone. On the website investopedia.com, they say, the dot-com bubble grew out of a combination of the presence of speculative or fad-based investing, the abundance of venture capital funding for startups, and the failure of dot-coms to turn a profit. On the website stockpicksystem.com, they say, the dot-com bubble burst that caused the 2000 stock market crash. The dot-com bubble burst is what caused the 2000 stock market crash.
So, 9/11 brought everybody together. It created, I mean, I was in DC when that happened, 9/11, and all of my friends, I studied in England, I worked with a company in Berlin, everybody from around the world called me to see if I was okay. There was so much great compassion. It brought the country together. And in the wake of that, the country became a militaristic den of thieves. The Patriot Act was passed. Hey, Google, what is the Patriot Act?
According to Wikipedia, the USA Patriot Act is an act of the United States Congress that was signed into law by US President George W. Bush on October 26, 2001. USA Patriot is a backronym that stands for Uniting and Strengthening America by providing appropriate tools required to intercept and obstruct terrorism. On the website DNI.gov, they say, the purpose of the USA Patriot Act is to deter and punish terrorist acts in the United States and around the world.
All right, so that was huge. That opened a double secret, double secret judge. What is it called? Double secret warrants, all kinds of NSA access, all kinds of stuff that Snowden revealed. Like a lot of fuckery resulted, and I dare say that after the June 6th event, the worst thing ever to happen to in American history, that is going to open the way to like what I called Patriot Act 2, Electric Boogaloo, Tokyo Drift, which is going to be exactly what Patriot Act 1 is, but focusing not on international terrorism, but domestic terrorism. And it's going to have the same overreach, the same CIA operating domestically, NSA operating domestically, DIA operating domestically, NRO operating domestically, JSOC operating domestically, in like never before, with joint operations that will be able to target American, so-called American domestic terrorists in country. So the same kind of aggressive, possibly extremely drony, like drones out the wazoo, quite possibly the kind of thing you hear about going on in banana republics, disappearing, black sites, grab and bag. Hey Google, what is grab and bag? Hey, Google, what is grab and bag?
On the website merriam-webster.com, they say, 1. A receptacle, such as a bag, containing small articles which are to be drawn without being seen. Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can try.
Hey, Google, what is bag and grab?
Here's the definition of grab bag, a container from which a person chooses a...
Hey, Google, what is the military term of bag and grab?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Anyway, I don't even know if I have the... Google, stop. I don't even know what the term is. But, you know, the whole bag over the head and take you away and disappear you or allow you to be... sent to Guantanamo, allow you to be sent to a Polish secret site, like anything like that. Just open up any type of, hey Google, what was the prison in Iraq that was considered to be a controversy?
According to Wikipedia, Abu Ghraib gained international attention in 2003 following the invasion of Iraq, when a scandal involving the torture and abuse of detainees committed by guards in part of the complex operated by US-led coalition occupation forces was exposed.
What does this all mean? You'll learn right after the break. Hey, this is Chris Abraham, Chris Cass, Season 2, Episode maybe 5. So, Patriot Act 2, Electric Boogaloo, Tokyo Slide, Tokyo Drift. So what does it mean? Are we going to have a domestic Abu Ghraib? Are we going to have, is everybody going to say that we've, hey Google, when was the Civil War ended?
American Civil War's end date is May 9th, 1865.
So that's a lot of years. Hey, Google, how many years has it been since 1865?
On the website HuffPost.com, they say, on deck, 18, 1865, slavery ended in the United States.
So 148, 150 years ago, one can easily say, these dumb Southerners, these Civil War yokels, these folks with their crazy don't tread on me flags, these barbarians, these God-fearing, gun-clutching, Bible-clutching yahoos, we've given them 150 years to reintegrate into society. We know now that instead of the cancer being taken up by the body, the cancer has overwhelmed the body. Because this cancer of Southern yokels, of the South will again rise, the concept of the original Americans, the traditional heritage Americans, will take back what is theirs. Since this narrative cannot be quelled through public education, through the colleges they don't go to, through mainstream media, through television narrative, through all these things. They've had 150 years. It's not going to happen. It's time to use extreme chemotherapy to try to rid the corpus of this blight. It's time to use chemotherapy to kill the cancer that is the American extremist right, aka white supremacists, aka domestic terrorists. Appeasement didn't work. Integration didn't work. Even geographical separation didn't work. A large tent didn't work. The clinging to the gross tribalism of yesteryear. Will not abide and will not abate. So therefore, let's get into the whole concept of New World Order. That's a really interesting thing because I heard a quote from Bush yesterday, and the quote is something like, "We will no longer abide by the law of the jungle. We will abide by a New World Order." Let me see if I can get that quote. Hey, Google, do you know the quote that says, "We will no longer abide by the law of the jungle. We will abide by a new world order"?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can try.
Well, anyway, doesn't that sound terrible? But if you believe this whole concept of a new world order is the transition from the... So condescending. Holy crap. This whole concept of the law of the jungle is basically saying no longer shall the earth suffer primitives. No longer shall the earth suffer tribes. The world will shed that disgusting disgusting handmade, hand-stitched skin and the gourd and the bows, arrows, and spears, and will uptake the great lantern of learning, right? So I dare say that Build Back Better is a redefinition of New World Order. And I don't mean New World Order as being, you know, crazy gecko people. I'm talking about New World Order as a transition towards enlightenment, as a transition towards science-based world, as a transition from Klingon to Federation, right? As a transition to talk to you geeks, as a transition from Klingon tribalism to Federation, higher thought, higher ideals, philosophy, Aristotle, Goethe, there's no interest. I mean, 80% of the world has no interest in becoming this. 80% of the world doesn't care what happens 50 miles outside of their own house. Most of the world, 80% of the world lives in tribal compounds. Friends and family groups, birds of a feather. And nobody wants anything more than that, but God damn it, you'll be one needs to be driven to that. One needs to be extricated from the oppressive restrictions that women have by being caught in a tribe, that people of color have by being caught in a tribe, that people of the LGBTQ plus have by being caught in a tribe. It's oppressive to gender. It's oppressive to caste. It's oppressive to everything. Now, I'm going to go off the reservation when we get back, and it probably is the topic for another conversation, but I will go into the whole concept of this is actually not a race war. This is, in fact, a class war. That'll be your little bonus before we close out. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, I'm as happy as can be. MICKEYMOUSE, Chris Cast. Chris Abraham brings you Chris Cast. Season 2, episode 5, or 6, or 7, or 8, or 9, or 10. Je ne sais pas. Je ne connais pas. Je ne sais. Yes. All of this rabble-rousing, June 6th, is, in my opinion, as has all of BLM and everything else, has all been a giant American, global, the most amazing magician event, performance, spectacle in the history of the human race, which is to misdirect all the fervor that could potentially result in a class war and misdirect it into a race war. So, if you make sure that you separate people of color and minority peoples, including women as best you can, people of color, but especially countercultures, such as progressives, and if you co-opt them, LGBTQ plus communities, trans, black lives, especially black women, especially black trans. Those are my, and I'm not even joking. I think black trans women are, there's only one thing better than black trans women, which is Hawaiian mahus, which is Pacific Island trans women. And I say that with complete earnest love. I'm not being bombastic with regards to that. I grew up in Hawaii, and Hawaii without mahus is not Hawaii. So if you as the wealthiest 200 billionaires, and hey Google, how many millionaires are there in America?
11 million millionaire households. Here's a summary from the website DaveRamsey.com. Do you know how many millionaires are in the US today? The answer is there are about 11 million millionaire households.
Hey Google, how many billionaires are there in America today?
630 billionaires. On the website CNBC.com, they say, the United States now has 630 billionaires, whose wealth totaled nearly $3.4 trillion as of April 29th.
Hey Google, how many Americans are worth more than $100 million?
On the website NPR.org, they say, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos is the world's wealthiest person.
Hey Google, according to how many Americans are worth over $100 million?
I found a table on Wikipedia that probably has your answer.
Yeah, that's only world. 23,835 people who have 100 million to 199 million. 60,760 who have 50 to 99 million. And 85,850 people who have 30 million to 49 million. So, those people are afraid. Those people are extremely afraid of Trump's base. Those people just happen to own all mainstream media. They own... one thing I forgot to share with all y'all. The reason why I think this is a class war and why America has castes and royalty a class system is because I heard Chris Hayes make an impassioned speech yesterday on YouTube, which I guess was on CNN. And part of what he said, which is a bombastic, because America is a supposedly an egalitarian, domestic, everybody's the same country, is he said, These rioters had the audacity to breach the hallowed holy walls of the Capitol and put the political class in harm's way, threaten the political class. Hey, Google, what is the political class?
According to Wikipedia, political class, or political elite, is a concept in comparative political science originally developed by Italian political theorist Gaetano Mosca. It refers to the relatively small group of activists that is highly aware and active in politics, and from whom the national leadership is largely drawn. Here's a summary from the website mycollegeoptions.org.
Hey, Google, stop. Wow, isn't that cool? Political class. If it were anyone else, I don't know. I mean, if you dare breach the hallowed walls of the Holy Capitol, and then put the political class in harm's way, that is just replace political class with the king or the court, or replace it with the nobles. The serfs had the audacity to breach the castle walls and put the nobles in harm's way. Doesn't it make a different sound there? So I think that this entire Black Lives Matters, in spite of the fact that it's really important. I mean, there are hundreds of Black men, women, and children who are dying in America every year, both by the hands of police, the hands of whites, the hands of even their own people. This is a bloodbath. This is a bloodbath that makes any event, including 9/11, seem like a milk run. I mean, so it's a misdirection to turn any activist vis-a-vis a union extremist, any type of extremist in the form of a white man, can be defined easily and dismissed or jailed or tracked or traced, or bugged, or even thrown away into a Guantanamo for being a domestic terrorist. So it would make short shift. Hey, Google, is the saying short shift?
On the website chris-spisak.com, they say, shrift is an old word referring to confession that we don't generally see anymore. The expression short shrift was used for the first time by Shakespeare in Richard III, and in this usage, it was referring to a literal brief confession. On the website dictionary.cambridge.org, they say, he was handed over to his own people and received very short shrift. I think it will get short shrift from them. He received short shrift at that time, and nobody complained.
See, guys, I learned. I knew it was short shrift, but I didn't know the word shrift, so I said short shift, which is, of course, you know my intended meaning, but now we know it's short shrift. So yeah, this is going to be a bloodbath. Anybody who fights the power is going to be labeled a domestic terrorist if they have a white face, self-identify as white, or are from one of the tribal danger areas, you know, based on where they live, their associations, the clubs that they're part of, the lists that they're part of, the chats that they have, the contacts in their contact lists, who follows them and who they're followed by on social media. It's gonna be freaking awful, man. I mean, as a lifetime member of the NRA, and someone who's bombastic with podcasts like this, and someone who listens to No Agenda podcast, No Agenda show, I'm screwed. I'm already guaranteed Garen's Ball Barons on a list. So, Anyway, let me know if this is interesting to you. Let me know what you think. I think I'll tell you how to contact me in the next segment. And don't worry, the next segment is the last segment. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. This is Chris Abraham, Chris Cast, getting in trouble in the podosphere. This is my pod, season 2, maybe episode 5, maybe episode 6, maybe episode 7, maybe episode X minus 1. So, my name's Chris Abraham. You can email me at chris@abraham.su. You can go to my HQ at chrisabraham.com. You can text me at +1-202-352-5051. You can signal me, WhatsApp me, text me. You can call me, but if I don't recognize your number, or we don't have a call scheduled, I will not answer. If you leave a message, it'll go to my Google Voice, which will then be transcribed. And then if you say something lovely, I might call you back. I'm at Twitter, at Chris Abraham. I'm Instagram, at Chris Abraham. YouTube, at Chris Abraham. YouTube.com/Chris Abraham. I am No Agenda Social, at Chris. I am Giravik.su at Chris. I am Tumblr, chris-abraham.com. My business is gerriscorp.com or gerr.is. That might be it. If you want to support me, you can go to anchor.fm/Chris Abraham/support. I think if you just go to anchor.fm/Chris Abraham, you'll find links to the support page and to how to message me. What else? Oh, if you can, go to whatever and wherever you... Oh, subscribe. If you got this through a link, you can subscribe via any platform. I'm everywhere, pretty much. There's been some problems, but hopefully they'll get fixed. And then write a review or a comment or add stars or likes or share with your friends or whatever. I think it helps the algos, whatever that is. And I love you. I cherish you. I pray for you every night. And Godspeed to you. Aloha. Mahalo. Merci beaucoup. Dankjewel, danke sehr, gracias, prego, ciao.